This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Copper Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boost.
This game's still alive and the Hawks have a first down.
Who wants to talk football?
It's Ronnie Wingo, number 20. Touchdown, Arkansas.
They talked the bar.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Former Razorback quarterback Tyler Wilson, who's in studio with us this morning. Tyler, I feel like it's been like a year since you've been able to join us, but it's good to have you in right in time for spring football where there's a lot going on.
Yeah. Well, not quite a year, but
yeah, it feels, like,
it feels like it. But I tell you what, man, it does not feel like spring outside this morning. Not that much. But, you know, football is definitely of discussion, and quarterback position, a big part of that. So much question with obviously Connor and having success in baseball and where does this go from here? And then you get, you know, two big news in terms of transfers. Mm-hmm. Obviously yesterday, a big part of that. So, interested in diving into all that discussion this morning.
So what have you been up to?
Well, I've been working. I've been going a bunch of different directions.
I think the fun answer.
What do you want me to tell you?
Telluride, you know, Park City. You know, I thought you might be out, trying out for the Olympic snow skiing team or something.
Well, I did. I did take one trip out west. So that was about a week excursion out west, and I did Jackson Hole, Park City, in simultaneous. So. I got some winter weather in, and I'm tired of it being here though. I'm ready for it to warm up.
Yeah. So, well, walking outside, it's not as bad as it was yesterday, but still, it's pretty terrible. And see, that's the thing, because when you think about it, we talk about spring practice, mm-hmm. we got baseball season really starting to get going. But then every day when you walk out the door and you feel the weather, you're like, I don't feel like this is football. I don't feel like this is baseball. It just feels like it's so, the weather doesn't mix with what's going on. And that's really the unfortunate thing about it. You know, with spring practice going on, I know that we got to catch up with you just a year ago when we were at this point in Chad Morris's first year talking about spring practice, all the going on things in it. Just from what was your thoughts on spring practice? Because I feel like there's some players that don't mind it. There's some players that think it's unnecessary. But just like when you were going into your spring practices and all the things that came along with it, being in the spring and all that, what were your thoughts on it just going into it?
I felt it was as important as fall camp. I mean, I really did. I thought that the evaluation from a coach's perspective was so strong in the spring. And, you know, from Chad Morris's group, I mean, they have such a desire to fix things right now that they've got to give all of their energy into spring practice. And I think, you know, so much of it was into recruiting, but now it's like, okay, we've done a decent job recruiting. I think we've got a good grade across the board in terms of how we did in recruiting. Now we got to work with the players that we've got, because all those guys that we recruited, some of them might be here now, but most of them are not going to be here, you know, for still a few more months, if not into the season. And are those guys going to contribute in year one? And I think the answer is most of them probably not. So you got to still work with what you got in the cupboard. And so you got to retrain those guys and go back into the discussions of what you had into the back half of the season and figure out how those guys transition and move into 2019. And I think that's going to be the biggest challenge for Chad Morris.
Yeah, because one of the storylines, of course, like you mentioned when you were talking in your opening, is that about these quarterbacks that have been added. Obviously, Ben Hicks and Nick Starkle, the newest quarterbacks. Ty Story and Cole Kelly are gone. You still have Connor Nolan around with him trying to balance baseball and football. And we know that the other guys like John Stephen Jones, Dalton Hyatt, KJ Jefferson, the new quarterback coming in too. You got a pretty full quarterback room of six quarterbacks, at least ones that are currently on the roster. But it's kind of a different dynamic now because – you have two brand new guys that are going to be a senior and junior respectively, and Ben Hicks and Nick Starkle, that just get thrown into it.
Yeah. Well, you like to have some kind of continuity at that position. And, you know, you'd like to build on what you had last year. And I guess the frustrating point for Chad Morris and Joe Craddock is, oh, my gosh, we really have nobody in this room that has any game experience from last year. Now, they probably felt like they got a more talented quarterback room today than they had 365 days ago, regardless of the commitment or the and or experience. You know, but I think if you look back at these two guys, obviously Ben Hicks has got experience with Chad Morris at SMU. You've got Starkel, which has a significant amount of experience last year at A&M with decent numbers. You know, and, you know, so from that perspective, I think they feel they have a more talented quarterback room moving into 2019. And the guy that's the biggest question mark, Connor Nolan, who's playing baseball right now, is the one of the guys. I know we only won two ball games last year. He was one of the guys that got one win. Yeah. So, you know,
have you watched him pitch any? Yeah, you know, I mean, it's not been. You've had to go out of your way to find it. You know,
right,
either go to the game or pull it up on streaming.
Yeah, I guess wire into Trojan Sports online.
Yeah, that thing was terrible.
Yeah. That's what I heard. But no, I have not. I've heard strong accolades. Obviously, his velocity is very, very good. He has good command of the ball, and you know, I think, and the game in general. And Van Horn has spoke so highly of him, and I think part of it is, I think Van Horn's not dumb, right? I
mean, he's pretty smart.
He's one of the guys.
You could say
he's
that.
Knowing. I mean, I got to politic a little bit here for Connor long term, and I think it's going to be a pull for Connor to decide, because Van Horn is so high on him and pulling so hard for him to get his time, and he knows he's going to be an asset for him down the line here in the baseball season.
Can he do all four for 3 years, 2 years? How long can this go on trying to do both at a high level?
I think he's going to have a real hard time. Now,
is he going to have to make a choice at some point?
I think so. But, you know, I mean, in perfect, you say choice. I think that's going to come very soon. Yeah. I mean, it came yesterday. You know, you got spring football practice.
Yeah.
And who's getting reps? Well, I can't get as many reps. Why? One, it's cold outside. And two, I got to rest my arm. Well, and, you know, so there's limiting factors already that we're running into.
And I wonder, I mean, would he have even been there yesterday had it not been for the baseball game getting canceled?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. Or would he have been down the street at the game?
You know, we say all that, though, and who is the number one topic of discussion right now in the NFL Combine, NFL Draft?
Kyler Murray.
There you go.
Who plays
you know, 6 months ago, before, you know, the Heisman and all that stuff that came on board, he was a baseball player that was going to, you know, venture into one more season of college football and then, you know, take his talents to the baseball diamond. And here we are talking about him potentially being the number one draft pick in the NFL. So things can change. This whole discussion coming, you know, halfway through the year could be Connor Nolan starting quarterback, University of Arkansas, and you know, he's a pretty good baseball player too.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the biggest question mark, and we'll see how this all obviously unfolds moving forward.
Yeah, because that's going to be the thing that, of course, with the questions that are coming into spring practice, the quarterback situation is the biggest one, and then the element of Connor Nolan. Because that was the thing too, is that when we were discussing it, and we know how Petrino felt with you when about your baseball or football, which one are you going to choose here? Didn't really have an option there, but you know, you see like guys like Kyler Murray, guys like Jameis Winston. I mean, guys that were really successful at a high level at both sports. The way that it's happening, and it happens a little more often. You know, we know that Chad Morris is very open and wanting Connor to do what Connor wants to do, but I mean, it's just got, for a coach, it's got to be difficult to sit back and just have one of your football players playing baseball, but you know he can balance it, but you don't necessarily feel like you want him to try to balance it. You want him on your roster, in your locker room.
Every coach is going to fight to have their guy all the time. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I just go back to conversations. It was a mute point. I had no real leverage to try to go to Dave Van Horn and Todd Butler at the time and say, yeah, I think I'll you know, come down here in spring and let's throw a bullpen and see where things are. I had none of that.
Yeah,
you know,
I just wish you'd asked Petrino and then recorded the conversation and enjoy it now. You know?
I probably could have, and I probably could have, but I felt this. I felt like
fear.
Did you feel fear? Yeah, I really clearly I did. But if I had done that, I knew that my commitment level and his commitment level to me to potentially be the guy on the football field was going to be drastically reduced.
Right. And I don't say this, take Connor out of this next question, but for you, was it also a consideration to your football teammates? Hey, I owe it to these guys to be here in the spring too?
I think
is that something maybe on Connor's mind that, hey, you know,
it was
I could feel how you might feel like you're letting your teammates down a little bit by not being there, but he's got to do what's best for him too.
Well, I mean, I always felt like I was much more of a baseball player early on than a football player. I felt like I had really good arm talent and a skinny kid that had to make myself into a football player. You know, but early on, I realized I was on football scholarship. And, you know, that was what was paying the bills, so to speak. And so right. I felt some obligation to that sport more so than the other. And, you know, I mean, I thought I could contribute early in baseball. And if I had to do it all over again, I think that would have brought value to me long term. You know, being the fact that it took me 3 years to even really truly play, you know, football.
Right.
Everybody yeah. wants the choice made here. But in life, we all want both, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody wants both. You know, do you want the beach vacation or go skiing on spring break? I want both. You know, do you want, you know, that's just the way it is in life. You know, everybody wants more. So I don't understand the desire to make the choice right away. Maybe somewhere down the line, the choice is made for him, or something occurs and it becomes obvious. But I just don't understand why it can't be both.
Well, it's like Tyler was bringing up. You know, he's talking about how he felt. Because I'm not saying everybody feels this way, but like he said, feeling like an obligation almost, where you're getting your scholarship, your full ride from football. I mean, that's where you were coming up here, and I'm sure some other kids feel that same way, where it's like you feel like you have to fulfill an obligation there.
You know, and I tell you this, I felt like the culture at the time for me in the football was, I mean, we had a really good baseball team. There were really good players, but the culture was, we're rebuilding this football team, and if you want to be a part of it, you got to be a part of it, not mm-hmm. just passively. And I wanted to be a part of that total rebuilding process. And you had some really good guys, and I don't know. I don't know. I can't describe. Maybe I was a sheep and just, you know, just put my head down and did exactly what everybody told me and didn't think for myself and didn't make decisions, you know. But looking back, I'm glad that I did it. Did I maybe minimize my opportunities baseball? Maybe. But I'm glad Connor is getting a chance, if nothing else. I'm glad Connor's getting a chance to really show his talents in the baseball diamond, because, you know, I think his upside there is potentially higher. I don't know. I just, you know, I think he could be really good in Chad Morris's system playing, you know, football. But I also feel like it, you know, he's got the talent to do both, and I'm glad he's able to showcase both.
Follow the show on Twitter at HitThatLineAR. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're in number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs!
Chad Morris met with the media yesterday and had this to say about the newly, I guess, can we call him what? How do you want to put that? The newest addition? The newest?
To my Starkle?
Yeah.
The newest Razorback quarterback.
Perhaps quarterback mm-hmm. QB1 coming up. This is what he had to say.
We're always in a quarterback market. You'll see the competition level in all rooms, and especially the quarterback room. Adding Nick in there will be a huge addition for us as well. He's got an extremely strong arm. That's one of the things that really stands out. He's got good size, but we've got a strong arm, and obviously we know he's played in this league, you know, and I think everybody that has been around him just talks about the quality of a person that he is.
Now, Tyler, I know that you watched a little bit of film on this guy, and you're the quarterback of this show. So what did you see just from the few highlights that you saw, from his measurables, from all of that? I mean, is this a guy that Razorback fans can be excited about?
Yeah, you know, yesterday the news, and I'm going, okay, you know, Nick Starkle, Texas A&M guy, you know, he's got some experience in this league. You know, it didn't do a lot for me because I just didn't know a lot about the kid. You know, but I felt pretty strong about the Ben Hicks guy because he's got a history with Joe Craddock, a history with Chad Morris. You know, but when I dug into the tape of Nick Starkle, I got really excited. Why? Raw ability to throw the football, throw it from all different angles, throw it as he's moving back from, you know, from the side of his body. He can throw it from a natural delivery spot. He can throw it moving, and the ball's spinning off his hand really, really well. A lot of guys will throw it, and, you know, the ball's just not spinning right. watch this kid's ball spin. It's high level. And, you know, he'll throw it as he's moving back. And I think what Chad Morris said there, throwing the ball down the football field with velocity and arm strength and is so important and gives you all kinds of options as a play caller. If you can block it that long, which is going to be the biggest challenge, if you can block it that long, then it gets really exciting. But when you don't have that protection, what you have to have is a quarterback that has anticipation. In some of these plays, in some of these games, last year at Texas A&M, he's throwing balls really early with anticipation and leading receivers. That is something we have not had in the last two or three seasons. And I think that will be his maybe his biggest attribute, anticipation with arm strength, and a natural delivery of the football, all very valuable things with Nick Starkle. And, you know, size, not too shabby, 6'3", 220 pounds, 218, 220 pounds. He's got good frame. You know, right. So I like him.
Ben Hicks has one season to play. Starkle has two. Mm-hmm. Put your coaching hat on for a minute. Does that come into the equation, or do you just need the best quarterback right now? Or how does that work into the calculus, the fact that Starkle has another year of eligibility that Ben Hicks does not?
You know, I think right now what they had to do is go on the free agent market and find the best guys that can add value to the room. They lost two guys that played last year. So we got to find two guys that can play in any situation. You know, you never know who's going to get hurt. You never know what's going to happen. So they got two guys, I think, that can come in and play and give you quarters. And not just give you quarters, but give you a chance to win quarters. And I'm not saying win games for a reason, because I think, you know, you just don't know how it plays out. I'd love to have a starting quarterback name. I think you guys mentioned it yesterday. I don't want to play the flip a coin on game day of who's going to start. I can't live with that. But if there's injuries, there's those kind of things, you have to have flexible. And, you know, this system makes the quarterback run, which makes the quarterback vulnerable. So you have to have multiple guys that are assets to play. And, you know, I think both of these guys, Nick Starkle, obviously the more upside. One, I looked at both guys. I think talent-wise, Nick Starkle has the most upside. And he has more years of eligibility here at Arkansas. Yeah. So if I'm putting my chips in the basket right now, I think their loyalty potentially, I don't say loyalty, their interest in Nick Starkle would be very, very high.
I'm just saying, you know, trying to build stability, trying to build some continuity, not really knowing where you're at with Connor Nolan long term, because I'm still at the camp. You tell me, don't count Connor Nolan out from a talent level. You know, when he's fully back in the fall and going through this, I think he's going to compete well with these guys.
Guys, remember, we won two football games last year, and I hate to keep reminding everybody of that. We won two football games. He started one of the two football games we won. Now, I know it was against Tulsa, but, you know.
But you know his pedigree. You know where he comes from. You know how he was coached, you know, before he came to Arkansas. And, you know, there's been another guy at Greenwood High School that had some success at quarterback at Arkansas.
And he's still got 4 years. Connor Nolan still has 4 years.
4 years. Yeah.
So you can sit here and talk about Nick Starkle all you want, and you guys are going, oh, my gosh, all right, Tyler and Tommy are on to the new toy today. Right? Okay, here comes a new guy, and everybody, he's the – so, you know, if you quit critiquing me for talking and moving on so quickly here to Nick Starkle and Ben Hicks, the exciting thing is beyond all of that, Connor has 4 years. Now, does he leave early for baseball? Does he have those opportunities? I don't know. I think it's too early to say at this point. But what's exciting is now you've got a stable of guys. You can go down the roster. Let's just say Nick Starkle, for lack of just because he's got the most experience in the SEC, and I love the talent, love the upside, size one. You got Ben Hicks, too. It's got great experience with Chad Morris, great experience with Joe Craddock, and has played in games and has won football games. That's two. And your third right now, as I see it, because he's playing baseball and he's not going to get all the reps in the spring, being Connor Nolan, which has won you football games at Arkansas, a football game at Arkansas. Your quarterback room, I think, has instantly got better.
I find that hard to disagree with right now.
Yeah. You know? Well, and the thing is, too, is because I find it fascinating.
I think it's an upgrade, what you brought in over what you lost.
Well, we have, because it's like, what, six quarterbacks now that are on roster. And when you were playing quarterback, was your quarterback room that large?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I guess a lot of people don't realize that.
So my first year, when I came in, all right, let's go down the roster, and let's just name these names. It was Ryan Mallett. Okay, Ryan did not have the eligibility, but he was in the room. He would transfer from Michigan. Casey Dick, Nathan Dick, so the two Dick brothers. Alex Mortensen, forget that, who's an assistant at Alabama right now. Jim Youngblood, there's a name.
Man, I forgot about him.
And then myself, and there might have been another walk-on. Nick Petrino was in the room. So there were six or seven guys in that quarterback room, you know, entry to Petrino. So I have no reason to feel that the competition and the volume of guys in the room is a bad thing at this point, because I had that experience myself.
Well, because that was the one thing that I was, because when Starkle was coming in, a lot of people were worried about the other quarterbacks on the roster. Be like, well, what about these guys? What about these guys that committed to Arkansas and have been there for a while? And how I see it is that the more quarterbacks at this point, the better, because I don't want a quarterback to win the job by default. I want to win and have a quarterback that wins the job legitimately over the other guys that are in that room.
You brought up something, though, at the beginning about blocking, and we brought this up yesterday. I know you were listening, but it doesn't really matter who the quarterback is. You can get Tom Brady to transfer in. If they can't figure out a way to block it up, and I'm of the opinion, not just offensive linemen, but Tyler, I didn't see enough out of the wide receivers this last year in their get-off-the-line skills and their get off the block early at the line of scrimmage skills. These wide receivers got to do their part to help the quarterback, but the offensive line clearly has to be vastly improved to give any quarterback a chance to be successful in 2019.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things I had to be careful of and have to be careful of is you know, this raw optimism, and I do think that there is some of that, and naturally I felt talking into last year was really hard for me in the football season, because I'm talking and I'm trying to, not that I'm trying to give false optimism. I think we were raw, just gave you the nuts and bolts. If this show did anything, it gave you the nuts and bolts, and we tried to be true. But, you know, I just didn't feel a lot of optimism with what we had to work with last year. And this year, you know, those guys we talked about are valuable. They do need pieces of the puzzle around them, I think, to make them good. Offensive lines, one of them. Wide receivers are another aspect. Nick Starkle, watching that highlight film, had some players around him. Those receivers, watching him go get the balls he was throwing, were good wide receivers. I think he had some assets around him that he won't necessarily have at the early part of this year. So all things to consider, absolutely.
Well, let me ask you this, Tyler, because we brought up the wide receivers, and they had a great recruiting class of wide receivers. I mean, bringing in four stars, guys that they're really excited about, big wide receivers, too. Everyone's 6'3 or taller. When you were at Arkansas and you were playing, was the wide receiver position maybe an easier transition from high school to college for these guys coming in? Because we know that there's a lot of, it was a very complicated offense that a lot of people do, but like for these wide receivers to come in, could it be an easy transition for them to step right in as true freshmen and make a huge difference from last year to this year, and especially for these quarterbacks?
Yeah, not to live, you know, 5 to 10 years in the past here, but you had a pretty well-documented success story with the wide receivers I played with, right?
Yeah.
With Joe Adams, Greg Childs, you go down the list. Jarius Wright. Those guys all played as freshmen. I don't know if they played their best as freshmen, but they played and they made an impact. We won 5 games, you know. So, you know, I think that position you can transfer raw talent in. It's a nervous wreck as a quarterback playing with a true freshman wide receiver, because you don't know if he's going to run the right route or the wrong route, and that's the most nervous thing you can do to a quarterback. So yeah, there's some nervousness, I think, throwing youth out there at the wide receiver position, but there's no question raw talent is easy to transit.
Subscribe to Hit That Line on iTunes. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas. 80 yards.
What a pleasure it is to welcome in our next phone call, Michael, who is in Stuttgart. What's going on, Michael?
Guys, the pleasure's all mine. I want to tell you, you guys know what the line is on tonight's game, don't you, or do you? You guys know what the line is?
Yeah, last time I saw it, it was
Arkansas.
Yeah, it was favored by two.
Yeah,
Arkansas is a 1.5, 2-point favorite against a team that hasn't won a game yet. So if you guys were given a prediction right now, and guys, I bet for a living. I mean, honestly, I pay for everything in life, and I'm not a wealthy man. I actually would be, but you know, I'm pretty stupid and aggressive, and I bet a lot more money than I can afford to lose, and that's what happened. But what I want to ask you is, who would you take in this game tonight?
Honestly, when I was talking about it earlier, I'm taking Vanderbilt.
I would run.
Just because that's, I wouldn't take anything.
I would run, and I wouldn't bet this game.
No, I understand.
Yeah, but gun to my head,
guys,
I'd take Vanderbilt.
I'm not asking you for advice.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I just want to tell you this. It's actually a very, very good spot for Vanderbilt because they've got to feel like this is a game they're going to win, like you said earlier, John. But they actually match up very well with Arkansas. They have a big coaching advantage, in my opinion. I mean, you guys are talking about firing the coach, and I understand why, but he's actually a very good coach, kind of a victim of circumstance this year. You're going to get their best shot tonight. They're at home. Arkansas is coming off the heat. And I know people think this is incongruous. It's unbelievable that Arkansas – you know, lost six games in a row and then stole the game against Ole Miss, and all of a sudden they're going to come in here feeling good about themselves. But I hate to tell you, you know, these are young college athletes. That's the way it works. They're emotional. They're feeling good about themselves. You can't tell them nothing. All they see is Vanderbilt hasn't lost. And I know Arkansas, you know, got played off their feet by Vanderbilt, and that may get their attention a little bit. But at the end of the day, they still think they haven't won, and they're going to go in there and roll them, and it won't happen. I like Vanderbilt quite a bit in the game. And I'm a situational player. You know, 2 weeks ago I had Kentucky when they played Tennessee when they'd won 19 in a row and they were catching 5 points. And then 2 weeks later, a big, big piece on Tennessee in the payback game when the shoe was on the foot, and that's what happened. So I think Arkansas is in trouble. And this is going to be a very bad look for Anderson, and it should be, because you should go in there and find a way to win this game just because of your coaching. You should be up to win the game, which is the coach's job. You should have players good enough to go in there and beat a team like this, which also is the coach's job. But I don't think Anderson's good enough, and I think Vanderbilt wins tonight. And the game may not be close.
Yeah. Well, I'm telling you, last time these two teams played, Arkansas only won by three. That got out-rebounded by Vanderbilt. That was really one at the free throw line. Vanderbilt went 13-21. Arkansas actually shot well, with Daniel Gaffer going 10 of 12, 15 of 20 as a team. I expect it to be a close matchup regardless, but just knowing how trends go, I have a fear that it's going to be Vanderbilt tonight, Michael.
Well, and if it is, is that an indictment on Anderson? Because I feel like that last game was a career death warrant game. If he loses that game in front of that crowd with Nolan there in the red jacket, and by the way, you want to talk about situational basketball? He got a huge break with Ole Miss getting clipped by Tennessee the game before because they limped in here. This is what it's all about. People think this is. You want to talk about, man, the rebound advantage in this game, and this guy's 6'9". That doesn't win. That has nothing to do with it. I mean, it's just a very small piece if you want to look at it. There's a reason all the guys that are handicapping are looking at sheets like that, hunched over looking at sheets like that, and there's a different way to figure it out. You know, it's about motivation and emotion and who wants it and who has a superior coach and athlete. And that's what wins. Everything else, you know, is just guys not knowing what to say or what to do, so they quote a stat or a trend.
Yeah. Well, appreciate the phone call, Michael, as always, man. Call back anytime.
I certainly appreciate it.
Call back in anytime. So, all right, let's go.
All right, Ty is down at Sonic. They got dollar hot dogs today. I don't know if we got time for this, but.
And we'll make time. We'll make it really awkward and uncomfortable for everybody listening. All right, Ty, are you there?
Hey, this is Melissa. Can I take your order?
Melissa's about to take my order.
We got you in at the right time, then.
Can I get 8 chili dogs, please?
8 chili dogs?
Yes, ma'am.
Certainly.
Make that 9, Ty. Not 9.
Actually, I'm sorry, 9, please.
Hold the onions on one of them. So.
There's no onions on them, Tommy.
Nice try, though, Tommy.
What else?
All right. I want a large Coke Zero.
Yeah, I need a iced tea half and half. So.
Can I get a large half and half iced tea?
Are you really going to eat all
zero,
this?
Please?
Well, you want anything else, John? I'm buying. I mean, he's got my.
I guess
my
it
card.
Is your credit card.
What do you want?
Ty, give me a
ridiculous.
Give me a junior breakfast burrito.
There you go.
Can I get a junior breakfast burrito, please?
Oh my goodness! Yeah, he didn't even got it.
That's it.
Listen, can I get a large Dr. Pepper, and that'll conclude the order?
All right. Did you send over Connie with that junior breakfast?
Yes, ma'am.
All righty. All right, I got your 9 chili cheese Tony's, a large Coke
I think
Zero,
you ought to sit there and eat all of it right there.
Junior breakfast with Connie's house and a large Dr. Pepper.
Thank you, Ty.
I said it timed out a little bit.
Yeah. You go. Prayers up, Ty, when you come back in here. More of the Morning Rush coming up in 2 minutes.
I don't think
he
can win the bet. I don't think he can win it.
By the way, we did get him some hot sauce because you forgot the hot sauce.
I forgot. That was my fault.
Yeah, and we need to reset this and tell everybody about it.
Yesterday came out on social media, whatever, Sonic's promoting. They're paying us to do this. But they're having dollar hot dogs today.
That's right.
And you ask him, how many of these could you eat?
Because he is a garbage disposal.
And this guy, I'm telling you, for all of us like 40-somethings out there that, you know, we walk past a piece of pizza at the Casey's and we gain 2 pounds, this guy's the opposite. Just pisses you off. He can eat anything he wants, as much as he wants, doesn't gain a pound.
Yeah.
It'll catch up at some point.
It will.
You're learning this in your early days of your 30s.
What are you trying to say? Right.
Well, I mean, you know how the challenge, as you get older, that's the challenge, all right? Yeah,
that's true. It is true.
So he says 8, confidently. I need 8 of those.
8 chili dogs. This isn't just hot dogs.
We're going to find out.
It's not like you go to Bud Walton and you get you just a hot dog. No, this has got chili and mustard and cheese on it.
I have sent him to Sonic with my debit card, which may be big mistake number one on me.
Yeah, I don't know why you're doing that.
I don't know.
That's why I need Venmo.
Somebody had to pay for this.
Well, you could do done Venmo. You could find a way.
I don't even know what Venmo is.
Yeah, there's your problem.
So Ty is on his way back with 9 chili dogs. And a couple drinks or whatever.
Yeah.
And what'd you get, a burrito?
A junior breakfast burrito. So
anyway.
I wanted to add tape while you were buying.
Why not?
Yeah.
So it'll be another good reason to get on the video stream this morning and watch the show.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a reason to avoid it altogether. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. It depends on what you're into.
People are wondering what we're into.
Well, it'll be a perfect deal because it is 8 o'clock and it is a Wednesday.
It's either going to be magnificent that he completes it, or it's going to go horribly wrong, which would be magnificent as well.
No, I'd say I'm not going to be mad about it either way.
Either way.
So, because it's not going to be me eating the hot dogs and making a mess. It's going to be him. So I think it's a perfect way to segue into, and I'm sure he'll walk in during this, our What's Your Beef Wednesday.
What is wrong with you?
I want to complain.
I'm complaining.
I want to complain about
complaining.
I want to complain.
It really pisses me off today.
To simply listen to people whine and complain.
I'm angry. I'm spitting angry. I'm like a tornado of anger, swirling about. My heart rate is dangerously high right now.
I'm complaining because not enough people tickle, hug, or smile.
I'm so mad I could eat ball bearings and crap BBs.
It's time for What's Your Beef Wednesday.
All right, it is a What's Your Beef Wednesday. I'll go ahead and start this one off. My beef is with Tommy Kraft and Ty Richardson and everybody here at Pearson Broadcasting. I have a beef with everybody here.
All right, what's up?
My beef is that yesterday, the trailer for the final season of Game of Thrones came out. And it was released.
Yeah, and you were really excited about
this. I was pumped. I have been pumped about this for so long. And just to give everyone a background, not to brag, but I started watching Game of Thrones, the 3rd episode of the 1st season. So it's been a long time. It's been like 8 years that I've been watching this show, waiting week to week, year to year, for the final season to come about. I am just pumped. And I know a lot of people listening are pumped too. But here's my beef. As pumped as I am, Tommy does not watch Game of Thrones.
Nope.
Ty does not watch Game of Thrones.
Mm-mm.
Betty does not watch Game of Thrones. Dan does not watch Game of Thrones.
No one in the office.
Nobody watches Game of Thrones here in this office. So the show plays Sunday night, okay? And so on Monday morning, when I'm going to come into here after just coming off of a great sleep and a great high of watching an episode of Game of Thrones building up towards the very end, the first people I'm going to be able to have a chance to talk to about it are people who do not watch the show at all.
You got the computer there since Ty.
I do.
Put this on the poll. Do you regularly watch Game of Thrones? I would be very interested to see what percentage of our audience. Probably 50-60%. I don't know. I know it's a very popular show. I'm just always the kind. I get late to the party on these things. My schedule is so messed up for like 6 months out of the year, where I can't really be a regular appointment watcher of any, and I'm not really an appointment TV watcher of anything. I DVR everything other than sporting events, or I watch it on Apple TV or Netflix or whatever.
Some
streaming service. I tried to watch like the first 2 episodes of Game of Thrones a couple of years ago, and they had someone strung up with had it been skinned, yeah. Literally, like, skinned.
Yeah, it's not for the faint of heart.
So I watch a couple, and maybe I need to revisit, but I am so OCD type A. I cannot come in on a show like in the last season just start watching this. I have to go back, watch the pilot episode, and watch every one of them to build up to a final season.
Okay.
I just can't do it that way. I can't do it any other way. I don't know another way to watch a show.
And here's the thing. That's fine. But again,
so
it's
how many
like
seasons this season? Nine?
Eight?
Okay.
Yeah, and that's fine.
So I'd have a lot of watching to do to catch up.
Yes, because each season's about 10 episodes. Each episode's about an hour. So it take you a bit. But that's the thing is I don't mind it if it was just you. But it's everybody here. It's like I just need one person. One person I can talk to about it. And nobody watches
Nobody
it.
In this office watches.
Not a single person.
We got a dozen people work here. Yes. Nobody
And I'm like,
what
if
does
you look
say
at the percentages?
About you? I mean, think about hang on a second. So there's like 12 people that work in this building, and you're the one. You're the guy. Does that say more about us that are in the other 11 people or the one guy that watches? What does that say? Who does that say more about?
I think it says more about y'all than me. And the reason I'm saying that, because it's not like I'm biased or anything, but the reason I'm saying that is because if you look at, by and large, the amount of people that watch this show, it's just based on percentages, you guys are definitely in the minority.
Well, we're not all, in that upper bracket like you that can afford HBO. So, I mean, we not all of us have access to these premium programs.
Tommy, I've seen your television. You can afford HBO. you can find a way to muster up a couple bucks. Yeah, so that's my beef that I have is that when Game of Thrones. So, if you're listening right now, I want you to come on this show, and we can do it the last segment on Mondays, and maybe you guys can come in studio, some listeners come in, so we can talk
to
Game of Thrones.
You want to have a Game of Thrones segment?
I do.
Ice pick. I mean,
Nathan just tweeted, and he says, 10-minute Game of Thrones segment on Monday mornings due to the new season. He's calling his shot. He's wanting it.
When does this roll out? I thought
April 14th.
I saw the promo for it, so I knew it was in April.
Now, I know it's the same weekend as the Masters, but I don't care. Game of Thrones is more important.
Well, it'll be Sunday night, won't it?
Yeah. Well, I'm saying about that Monday when we had the show to talk about it. So you get a master segment, I get a Game of Thrones.
There is no show that would occur on Saturday or Sunday of that weekend that would preempt my watching of the Masters.
No.
My viewing of the Masters.
No, nothing that would happen that way. So that's my whole thing is just I just want somebody to talk Game of Thrones with. Now, if that's nerdy of me, that's lame of me, I don't care. I love the show. We only got 6 episodes left. Each episode's an hour and a half long, and I can't wait to see who ends up on the Iron Throne. But you won't know about
it. The Iron Throne.
Yes, the Iron Throne. See, everybody listening that watches the show knows what I'm talking about.
But it's not made of iron, thankfully. It'd be cold in the mornings.
A little porcelain there for you. So there you have it. That's my beef on this What's Your Beef Wednesday.
You know, and I'm not the biggest NBA guy, but my beef is we've all seen some of these. They're not even highlights. These defensive cut-ups of LeBron and the way he has not been playing defense with L.A. And what is going on with this? Because LeBron is supposed to equal greatness, right?
That's right.
We're supposed to be having these debates about whether it's him or Jordan, and that's been like for the last 5 years, like the big sports debate, LeBron or Jordan. And it really was divided along age lines. But you see some of this recent stuff going on. And it's not so much that they're going to miss the playoffs for the Lakers in LeBron's first season there. It's some of these videos that in these lowlights. I wouldn't call them highlights. They're lowlights of him coming out just basically dogging it.
Oh, my goodness. It's terrible.
No effort.
Terrible.
Not going to the rim. Not trying to rebound. Just standing out there taking a check. Now, I'm not the biggest NBA guy, so straighten me out if I'm wrong. But this is not what I expect to see from someone we're going to argue is like one of the greatest players of all time.
No, not at all.
It's Jordan or LeBron, and we're trying to figure out which order this is in.
No.
I've got real beef with this that when you're supposed to be carrying the flag, not just for your team and yourself, but for the league, and this is how you're playing?
And you're supposed to be in this playoff mode activated?
And you're getting $30 million a year. Or whatever, and I know that he's making a lot more money probably away from the court, particularly now in L.A., but that just to me is I just got real beef with that.
Yeah,
because any of us would do anything in the world to have the privilege of playing professional sports, and I don't want to turn it into that.
But
to make 1% of what he's making.
Yeah. And it's not even like playing bad.
And
just
it's not
putting
like
effort.
And
it's
I know effort. He had the 18 game span where he was injured in the group, but that's not what's causing this now.
No.
I'm telling you, the fans in L.A., everybody thinks it's a bunch of Hollywood elites there's a lot of other people that, in that town that, that love the Lakers, and they are not happy about this at all.
No.
And I don't blame them.
No, I wouldn't be either, because that's terrible. It's absolutely terrible in how it's going on with LeBron. And I, again, these are the reasons why I'm not really liking him. So there you have it. There's a What's Your Beef Wednesday, and we're going to get to the chili dog eat-off, or whatever you want to call it, for Ty.
We found him some hot sauce.
Got him some Frank's.
Hey.
Got him some Frank's hot sauce.
Got you some hot sauce here, some Frank's.
Oh, man. This is
Doug down at Doug's East Side. Folks. Heard your story.
Folks, I apologize
in
advance.
Knew you were in trouble.
We don't know how this is going to go.
Thanks, Doug.
In advance of all this. So we're going to get into that.
Really good radio or just...
We don't know what's going to happen, but hey, we're just punting it and see what happens. So we're going to get to that. Ty's got his chili dogs in front of him, and it's going to be absolutely magnificent. So I can't wait to dive into that.
Probably a good thing we got Magnificent Seven here.
I know. That's what I'm saying. He's got the
Magnificent Eight in front of him.
Yeah. And don't worry, I got a great bed for him to play underneath while he's eating the chili dogs. The perfect and most fitting bet. So we'll get into that.
Right.
We are brought to you by Williams Tractor.
Williams Tractor's got the Kick the Tires event going on right now. Great in-store deals and financing options on all New Holland equipment. Choose from New Holland tractors, hay and forage equipment, harvesting, seeding, spraying, even construction equipment. It's now through March 31st, so hurry in and kick the tires at Williams Tractor in Fayetteville and in Berryville.
All right, so Ty, you got eight chili dogs. Okay, you got eight chili dogs, and you're putting Frank's hot sauce on them.
Yep. And thanks,
if anybody's wanting to watch this, again, we're doing this on our live stream on Facebook Live, on Periscope,
not sure
and on
why,
YouTube.
But we are.
Yeah. Hey, listen, it's Wednesday. Let's have some fun with it. It's a What's Your Beef Wednesday, and there's beef in those hot dogs, I'm sure, somewhere.
Somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere in there. So there you go. So you're going to. And so what do we decide? Just two segments to do it?
I don't really care. They're going to get eaten. So
okay. Well
very confident.
Yeah, I'd say
very confident.
We'll make it work there. Well, before we dive into it, who do we got on line two here, Tommy?
Danny in Russellville.
Danny in Russellville. What's going on, Danny?
Good morning, guys. Who doesn't like chili dogs, right?
I'm telling
you, especially for breakfast.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
First of all, I do not watch Game of Thrones. I've never really. Is it on HBO?
It's on HBO.
Oh, I don't have it. That's a good reason.
We don't all live in John's tax bracket. We can all have HBO like John does.
But,
totally.
Tyler's there, right?
He was here earlier.
Yeah, he had to step out for work.
Oh, okay. Well, I just want to say that I appreciate the fact that he represented the state of Arkansas with pride. He loved the state. And quite frankly, he took a beating for us. I remember that first Alabama game. Oh, my God. I mean, he just got pummeled. And, you know, he was tough, and I appreciate that. I just want to get my beef in today.
Okay, go ahead.
We have a local call-in show here in Russellville, and it was the greatest call-in show ever, but now it's not. They've ruined it, and... The reason why is because people, they got a little frisky, and you would relate to this.
Are we talking about Dial-A-Trade?
Well, no, actually no, not.
I was hoping we were talking about
Carve's
Dial-A-Trade. Yeah.
And where you could call in and talk about anything you wanted.
Pygmy goat for sale up here.
Things that are important, you know, and people got to... trolling each other and blah, 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 and I guess they got too many complaints. So now they picked the topics, and yesterday's was so interesting. It was food trucks and tipping.
Mm.
Wow. I really want to call in and talk about that. But it was the greatest show ever. But
so you called another show to complain about another show?
Yes.
I was trying to understand what we're doing here.
Power Moves Only by Danny.
I love your show, really. Right, I do. But, you know, we could talk about the rise of socialism in America or whatever we wanted to talk about, and it was great. And now we are stuck with talking about food trucks, so that's my beef. And you guys have a good day.
Appreciate the phone call, Danny.
I'm not sure where we were going there, Danny, but I was hoping it was about Dial-A-Trade. I was really hoping we were...
Well, listen,
had a problem with Dial-A-Trade.
Folks, we have Ty over here eating 8 chili dogs on a Wednesday. We might as well just make it into that show where you just call and talk about whatever you want. Because we're Game of Thrones, chili dogs, socialism. I mean, we're just
And Vanderbilt basketball.
And Vanderbilt basketball. I mean,
what else do you want?
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty much what was going on there, too, as well. So, all right, Ty, you got one hot dog down?
Two
hot dogs down. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So you're moving really fast along there. Who we got line three here, Tom?
Porter in Ozark.
What's going on, Porter?
Good morning, guys. Just wanted to share a couple of beefs I had. Okay. One, man, this flu's kicking everybody's tail.
Oh, boy, it's terrible now.
I've got a couple of sick kids at home, but what I wanted to get into, I was kind of hoping Nick would be on there. But
can you use enough of that hand sanitizer right now this time? I mean, you need to bathe in that stuff, right?
No, I went to Sam's to get mine because I need that much.
Yeah. That's for the barrel of that, yeah.
So but anyways, my big beef was, you know, everybody's complaining about, like, Marcus Monk being on the sideline during that game.
Right.
And I brought it up and kind of called the guy out, and John was, like, saying it was a stretch. But to me, it's like, if people's holding this beef and being petty about Marcus Monk being on the sideline and saying that he was the reason why Malik Monk didn't come to Arkansas, then you know people still got that beef for Nolan. And yeah. I just simply said, no wonder that's the reason why he ain't got his name on the court yet.
Yeah,
well, I'm sorry we're up against it, Porter.
I'm totally distracted because Ty's eating four of these hot dogs in about 3 minutes.
We'll get to your comment on the other side. Ty has made it through six chili dogs.
Six down. I don't know if he can get these last two.
He's struggling a little bit.
I think his mouth may have...
he's still going, though.
He's ready to check his butt cake.
He just dove into the seventh one here. So keep going, Ty. Keep going. We're going to keep you updated.
Live up to his word.
Yeah, going to keep you updated on that. Let's go to the phones. What a segue to welcome in Larry Rath of Rath Auto Resources when we're talking about Ty eating chili dogs. Good morning, Larry.
Man, it's kind of early for chili dogs.
Well, thank you.
Sonic's got these dollar chili dogs, and Ty said he could eat 8 of them. So we just put him up to the... How many of those do you think you can
eat? Just put him to work.
Yeah, I'm like one, maybe two. He says 8.
Yeah. So this time of day, I don't know. That's a challenge.
Good way to
go, Ty.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Maybe he'll do it. Yeah. Listen, going to be a great day over at Rath Auto Resources. You know, we had a big month last month. I want to thank everybody that came in and took advantage of our big promotion. We've got a great promotion this month, too, and we're having so much fun with it. Spin the wheel and choose your deal. You know, we've got that big wheel in the showroom. You guys have seen it when you've come by. Mm-hmm. You spin that wheel, you're going to win free prizes, have a good time. It's just fun. And then you choose your deal. You can get up to $3,000 extra for your trade-in. You can get up to $3,000 below retail on the nicer, newer car of your choice. So you can't lose. It's kind of like a win-win situation, and we're having a lot of fun with it. Folks, buying a car does not have to be hard. It does not have to be an uncomfortable situation. We make it fun and easy every day with our friendly non-commissioned solution specialists, a great selection of these Rath road-ready cars, fast and easy financing, and terrific service after the sale in the Meineke Car Care Center. That's kind of our secret weapon. It's how we get our cars ready. It's how we take care of our customers. It's how we meet a lot of new customers. That Meineke Car Care Center, the best place in town to take care of all of your repair and maintenance needs. $24.95 basic oil change every day. Tires from Mastercraft, Cooper, and all the major brands. The Meineke credit card's a terrific deal. Just a lot of good things going on, not to mention the big promotion. So, folks, come by and see us. Spin the wheel and choose your deal at Rath Auto Resources and the Meineke Car Care Center. We're at 4515 Towson Avenue in Fort Smith, corner of Don Tyson and 71B in Springdale. Or you can check us out online at rathauto.com.
All right, two great locations to take care of you, Springdale and in Fort Smith. Larry, stay warm out there and have a good day.
Oh, we're going to. Absolutely. You guys have a good day, Ty. Get down those chili dogs and show them what's what.
Thank you, Larry. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Come see us, folks.
There you have it, Larry Rath of Rath Auto Resource. Okay, you got one left, Ty. All right, let's get some music in here for you. A perfect ending for you. Can you do it in 2 minutes? We got two minutes. He's slowing down. All right. Dive into it, Ty.
He's kind of hit the wall here.
It's okay. He's got it going. All right. First bite's down. Struggling a little bit. It's all right. Remember, you got your Dr. Pepper over here in case you needed to stuff it down. All right. All right. He's chewing. I mean, this is like fourth quarter right here. Remember like Frank Broyles said, Ty? You got to win the fourth quarter. Yeah. They remember in November.
Hit that line.
Yeah, hit that line. Hammer down. Left lane. Uncommon. All the other lane phrases he's from the marketing team. He's got it.
Crush this.
All right, Ty. Look at this. Man, I am impressed by this. Folks, what we are witnessing here, I feel like we're commentators here at the hot dog eating contest. Joey Chestnut ain't got nothing on Ty Richardson.
The other guy, Kobayashi?
Yeah, Kobayashi. Man, look at that.
They didn't have chili on theirs.
Or mustard, or is that? And I think it's cheese on there, too. Yeah, cheese. I mean, he's got the works on
that. What's not better with cheese?
Nah, I don't know. So, man, this is great. Okay, you got about two bites left. Man, Tommy, this might give us some more respect here for Ty. Don't burp it. Don't do it. Okay. He's almost got it. All right, Ty, come on now. 34
think you
seconds.
Could do a ninth one?
Don't let that little chili thing dribble. Don't let it get it. He's got to swallow bite. It. It's got to count when it swallows. Okay, you got a little bit left, Ty.
Yeah.
One bite left. You got this.
He's done.
He's got it. All right. Chew it down. Swallow it. He's getting there. Boom. He's got it. All right. Congratulations, Ty. You've just lost your respect.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.